You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Yeah, in case you forgot, it's Valentine's Day, man. Do not screw today up. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate. I don't know that you can further your case a whole lot, but you can really screw it up today. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay. Welcome to my house. Attorney General's getting ready to quit. How about that? Yeah, Bill Barr. On TV. He went Twitter on the commander in Twitter. Yeah, out of the blue, off the top rope on ABC News, making my job impossible to do. What? Yeah, how about that? And then the Senate Majority Leader on TV last night saying, hey, you know, I take the Attorney General at his word. And then you had Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying, yeah, I'm down with Bill Barr. But the commander in Twitter, man, he said, it's my absolute right to talk to the Attorney General. That's not what they're saying there, Mr. Potato Head. Right? They're saying, knock off the Twitter. You want to pick up the phone and talk? That's absolutely your right. You want to grant clemency to somebody afterwards? That's absolutely your right. But all you're doing when you do your Twitter thing, when we're trying to adjudicate legal matters, is you make our jobs not doable. So anyway, We'll see if that has an impact. So so that was kind of interesting yesterday. The Attorney General, right, pulling a page out of the president's playbook and putting him on blast on in the national media, and so sucking the air out of the room. So been kind of interesting watching that. Happy Valentine's Day to Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. The chef will join us today, and so we got that going on today. And then I'm headed to Colorado Springs next week to talk to the Space Command. They're having a gathering there, so I'll speak there. And pretty cool because some other people that are interested are going to hopefully be able to attend. The more I see Roger Stone, the creepier that dude is. Like, he has that procession going into the courthouse. right? He's got the goofy glasses and he's dressed to the nines. He's always got a clergyman with him, right? In uniform. And he's got a bodyguard and he's just a weird dude, man. Roger Stone. And now, you know, this whole kerfuffle. And the question is, you know, and then the president weighing in and all that. So, Trey Gowdy is a favorite, right? He's no longer a member of the House, and he said he would not run, and so he's going back to private practice and all that. So, and I think it's a sad day in our country, and guys like that said, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore, right? I don't want to do it anymore. Anyway, but, you know, when guys like, there's certain people, like, I don't listen to much news, right? I have the monitor on because I think, as I've said before, September 11th taught everybody a lesson about having a monitor in the studio, right? And the world changed that day. So, anyway, I have a monitor on, but I keep it on mute. But there's some people I unmute for. Jack Keane, I unmute for. And Trey Gowdy, I unmute for. I enjoy him. So this is Trey Gowdy speaking yesterday with Dana Perino. Dana Perino does a show on Fox. I can't remember what it's called. The Daily Briefing. She used to be President Bush's, I think at one point she was his actual press secretary. She started out as a junior person there, and I think she worked her way up to be his press secretary, although I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but here's Trey Gowdy talking about the whole Roger Stone thing and the president's right to express himself. Again, I don't think that's what the attorney general's talking about. Right? So here you go.
Last November, Stone was convicted by a jury of 7 felonies, including lying to investigators and witness tampering. President Trump is standing by bar amid the controversy. And joining me now is former House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy, now a Fox News contributor. Trey, could you take a listen to Speaker Pelosi, who spoke about this morning?
It always pains me to hear her, honestly.
Justice Department has this... should have this aura of something so apolitical, so above the political fray, that people have confidence in the rule of law in our country. The Attorney General has stooped to such levels. He's lied to Congress, for which he will be in contempt. He has engaged in these activities. What a sad disappointment to our country.
They've really tried to turn the Attorney General into a boogeyman, Trey.
Yeah, Dana, I mean, if we've really gotten to the point in this country where the attorney general cannot weigh in on the proportionality of a sentence in a prosecution that his department is running. I mean, is that what she's arguing, that the attorney general cannot express an opinion to a U.S. district court judge on a case that's in his office? I mean, it's laughable, except I'm afraid she's serious. The really funny part of what she just said is that the Department of Justice and our justice system should not be politicized. After the last 2 years, what this country's been through, it shouldn't be politicized. I wish she'd said that 2 years ago.
And then the president weighed in on this today. Of course, we have the tweet from yesterday, and I'll get your comment on that in a moment, but also he spoke out on a radio show with Geraldo this morning. Take a listen.
I don't think they quit for moral reasons. I think they got caught in the act by me. Now, what am I going to do? Sit back and let a man go to jail maybe for 9 years when murderers aren't going to jail? Look, you have some of the most serious, horrible rapists and everything else. They don't go to jail for 9 years. You look at schedules. You take a look. Some of them go to jail for nothing, for no time. And then this guy is going to go to jail for 9 years.
Well, you know that.
Was a sentencing recommendation that out of whack for the charges that they brought, or that they were convicted under?
Well, Dan, I think it's important to note, I mean, lots of prosecutors don't make any recommendations. I mean, prosecutors don't sentence people. Neither do Fox News contributors like me. Neither does the president. So lots of prosecutors don't even do what these four did. I never made a recommendation. I mean, the judge is going to do what the judge is going to do. We have guidelines in the federal system. And I think Bill Barr's point is, if you give him the 8-level enhancement for threatening a witness, then yes, his guideline range is 8 to 9 years. If you did not take that threat credibly, if you really did not think Roger Stone was threatening to do physical harm to a witness, then his guideline range is actually closer to 2 or 3 years. And what Barr say, I mean, either way, he's going to prison. What Barr is saying is, Judge, this 8-level enhancement that he got, which, by the way, the jury didn't do, the probation office did it. Mm-hmm. The jury didn't do that. Mm-hmm. If you take that away, then he's looking more at a couple of years rather than 9. I mean, the president is right. I never had a child pornographer that got 9 years. Bank robbers don't get 9 years. That's a lot of time for lying to Congress.
The other thing that she said is that people are not trusting the rule of law in our country. And to your point, that on both sides, they don't feel that way. Maybe just a last thought from you about how important is it that justice be blind and let the judges do what they're going to do?
It is the bedrock and the foundation of our country, Dana, but I cannot let the irony escape us. I mean, you watch the Democrat debates. Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, even Mayor Pete criticized for being tough on crime. Yeah, Bernie Sanders, who doesn't even believe in cash bonds, and AOC, who not only doesn't think you ought to go to prison if you're here unlawfully and commit a crime, she doesn't think you ought to be removed. So that's the party that now has embraced Roger Stone going to jail for 9 years. They can't find another single person.
It's true.
That ought to go to jail.
All right, Congressman.
Is that funny or what? You know, you just watch the circus, and it's like, if you believe what you're saying, right? I mean, you're like out of your mind, given, you know, what the nation watches on a regular basis. So it's it's like stunning when you watch this theater of the crazy. And again, the truth doesn't matter in Washington, D.C., right? It's burn it down to win the White House, you know, and I don't know. I honestly watch him. You can't be concerned with the country given the way you behave. There's no way you could sell that shit to me. And so I just think it's pathetic. It's just pathetic. And, you know, and the president is, you know, chief pathetic, right? He's the commander in pathetic. I mean, the things he does, he could fight for the things he wants to, you know, but his style is to get the flamethrower out and play the worst partisan game. Now, people justify that by saying, well, you know, all he's doing is giving as good as he gets, right? And it's a style that's worked for him. Yeah, I guess you'd be right on all that. I guess. So where are we headed with that? Where are we headed with that? I don't know. I think it's a pretty sad commentary on us as a nation on Valentine's Day, for God's sakes, on Valentine's Day. So anyway, the Iwo Jima campaign happened, 75 years ago, coming up next week. And, 75 years ago, Marines and sailors headed for Island X in the Western Pacific, and looking at terrain models aboard ships, looking at maps, and closing in on the islands. The bombardments had already been going on for some time with aviation assets. The naval gun bombardment, I want to say General Smith asked for 5 days. They gave him 3, a bone of contention after the fight. But I don't know if a couple more days would have made a whole lot of difference given the way the Japanese were dug in and the way that the Americans did not seem to realize that. I mean, they hammered, if you look at the coastal batteries and stuff, things that they could see, they hammered the shit out of them. But anyway, and then I want to say on February 18th, the day before the landing, I don't know if it was designed to be a ruse, but a series of, I want to say, LSTs, you know, closed on the landing beaches. And some of those ships got the shit blown out of them. So there's a, I have a book called The Amphibious Reconnaissance of Iwo Jima that details that. And just the courage of the sailors that closed closed on the beaches that day, the gunfire they took from shore batteries and guns on the island, and so Iwo Jima 75 years ago, that dinner is this weekend. I'm gonna sneak in. Yeah, I didn't pay, but I'm gonna sneak in. I won't eat, but I just want to pull up a chair and I got to meet some of those people. So anyhow, I'm looking forward to going down to Camp Pendleton tomorrow and going to the dinner. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the news. I read a really interesting article, I think at about 3 o'clock this morning, because I couldn't go back to sleep. And I sent it to myself. I believe it's a New York Times article. New York Times, how months of miscalculation led the U.S. and Iran to the brink of war. And pretty interesting article, pretty detailed article about the positions that the Trump administration had took out, some of the assumptions they made. The same thing about the Iranians, who did not believe that, you know, the president of the United States would do what he ultimately did. And so, so it talks about the coalition that works together in the Middle East, the Sunni coalition, and you know, who the United States and Israel attempt to work with, and then you know, it fragmenting a little bit, and so so pretty interesting article in the New York Times. I'll post that, and I always have to write myself a note. New York Times article on Iran. Because I mean, the link, I think you'll find interesting. So good morning on a Friday. Whitney Houston on this Valentine's Day makes it official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to all you Valentines out there. Yeah. And all you dopes who already forgot, get your shit together, man. It's not too late to pull something out of the hat. Okay. But make sure it's something that she wants. Like, don't get her a lawnmower or some shit that you want. So, yeah. So this is dedicated to all you Valentines out there. Happy Valentine's Day. We fight our country, yeah.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We do have to win. You know what, I have to tell you, I had an awesome day yesterday. Just an awesome day. I got a call from somebody who was struggling, someplace where I spoke recently, and he was in tears. And he said, I need help. Can you help me? And I said, fuck yeah, I can help you, man. What's up? And told me the story. Called some friends that are close to him, and one of them knew him, and called him back. How do I ever thank you? I'm like, you don't have to, man. The way you're gonna thank me is you're gonna help somebody next time. And I'll tell you what, I mean, that resonates so strong that there's nothing wrong with you. We all struggle. Right, and the way you're gonna pay it back is you're gonna help somebody else, right? And then last night, I got a message from somebody. Hey, could you help somebody? And the person who messaged me is a Gold Star wife, and she Gold Star families, I mean, they stay connected to people. But, you know, it's hard, man. Every time somebody wants to go back down that road, you know, for them. So we talked about, I don't know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I don't rightly recall. I know it was relatively recently. And she said, hey, when I have people that are struggling, do you mind if I refer them to you? I said, no, man, I would love that. And she said, that would be awesome. So anyway, so I got a message. Hey, I'm going to give somebody your information. And so she did. And I said, hey, man. So it was in like a message. And so I just said, hey, call me at this number. So again, somebody who's been therapied and medicated for years and years. And I said, all right, man, you ready? And he said, yeah. And then after about 15 minutes, he's like, who the fuck are you, man? He goes, how did you learn all this shit? I'm like, I don't know, man. I paid attention. I was a consumer. I still am, right? So, yeah. So yesterday was... You know, again, my life is crazy. Crazy with joy, right? Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. But, no, yesterday was awesome. Just helping people. You know, and I, as I said, you know, they're not bipolar schizophrenic, but they've got their asses kicked by life, and they don't see the path. They don't see the path, right? And I was actually working on slides that describes what I believe are the four paths. The first path is you don't have any trauma in your life. And most of us head down that path. Now, nobody gets to finish their life on that path, okay? And so there's many, many entrances to the next lane, the next path, which is I live in silence. And I don't talk about it. And I try to figure it out on my own. Now, that's a pretty wide path that a ton of people go down. And then there's a turnpike that comes off that that says, enter here with alcohol. So that's the third interstate. And then I-4, the fourth lane, is post-traumatic winning. And the entrance to that interstate is, will you confront the truth? It's guarded by the guys from the Hanoi Hilton, James Stockdale and company, right? If you won't confront the truth, you can't enter. You can't come down this path. Yeah, you cannot come down this path. So it starts with embracing the truth. So I was doing that yesterday, and so he and I were talking. I said, no, man, I'm nobody. I'm somebody like you, and got my head shoved underwater and repeatedly, and you know I had to learn to survive, and you know to live my life. So anyway, so yeah, pretty cool shit. Marineland weather. Whoa, on the East Coast, sunny and 38 in Quantico. Oh, this is the cold air that Bev and Ruth Ann have been dealing with. It got to the East Coast. That's why temperature's going down. North Carolina, partly sunny and 50. That's like 20 degrees cooler than yesterday. 29 Palms, sunny and 48. Pendleton, sunny and 47. So the West Coast has cooled off a little bit. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 74. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 73. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, they've actually warmed up a little bit. Clear, dark, and 49 in the provincial capital of Lashkar Gah. And in the Al Anbar province of Ramadi, it is dark, cloudy, and 52 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, partly cloudy and the same 52 degrees as it is in Ramadi. Who fucking knew that? Looking for high of 68. That's not what my phone says. My phone says 62. 68 tomorrow, 67 on Sunday. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll check news stories. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on Valentine's Day, right here on your Valentine's headquarters, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Men sing, only fools rushing, and I am here falling in love with you.
Yeah, love is in the air, man. Valentine's Day. Who recorded this originally? I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. This is UB40.
Falling in love with you. As a river flows.
Yeah, there's an article I want to share with you about physical fitness makes people happier than money. And I don't know that I believe that. If you've ever struggled with money and if somebody walked up to you and said, okay, would you like to lose 10 pounds or be able to pay all your bills and have money in the bank? I don't think that would be much of a choice to people. Yeah, that's just me. I could be crazy, okay? But I want to get into that here in a second. But we have to do shithole weather. I got a text message in the middle of the night. Like, Chris Cox is like pissed that people don't think he works. So shithole weather on the move. Massachusetts Vietnam Memorial, Green Park Hill, Worcester, Mass. Partly sunny skies, 26. Falling temperatures during the day, single digits overnight in some areas. Wind steady northwest at 16, gusting to 24. the start of a nice day in a beautiful but solemn place. And then there's some pictures. The Massachusetts Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And then there's kind of a map of the park. And then Chris actually sent a video of it. Wow. Nice. Shithole weather from East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Currently 11 degrees below zero, which is about, 15 degrees warmer than yesterday? Wind chills at 40 below. Currently winds at 17 miles an hour from the southeast. Sun is just coming up, mostly blue skies with a few high clouds. It'll be windy today with southerly winds at near 25 miles an hour forecasted through most of the day. Gusts could be as high as 43 miles an hour. Yeah, looking for a high today of 19 degrees above zero. Woo-woo. Low tonight, 15 degrees above zero with some light snow in the forecast for tonight. Happy Friday, Mac, and happy Valentine's Day too, and have an awesome weekend. Our weekend's going to be great. The Denver Pioneers are in town to play my beloved Fighting Hawks. They still call them the Fighting Sioux because they love that name. I won't get to either game, though. I'm busy with our city bowling tournament all weekend. Ruth Ann from Nancy. Happy Valentine's Day, Mac and all. At airtime in Pleasantville, it's clear and cold. 15 degrees above, heading to 22, down to 7 overnight. Winds out of the north at 9 to 13. Good snuggle, cuddling weather. Erie stole our weather again. Have a great weekend. From Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California. Currently 44 degrees, clear, cool winds, 5 to 9 out of the northeast. Looking for a high of 65. No snow is expected. Tell Cox I said what's up and get a job. Come on, Elvis is rolling over. No one can sing like the king. Come on. That's from Alabama, right? What Elvis Presley songs do I have? Like the I'm in love, I'm all shook up. How about Caught in a Trap? That's about love, right? That trap he got into where he was married to Priscilla Presley. Elvis. Yeah, look, I've been in some traps before. I would not exactly. Yeah.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much.
poor Elvis. Trapped in a relationship with Priscilla Presley.
Why can't you see?
Who seemed like an eminently good person.
What you doing to me when you don't believe?
I love Elvis, all right. Curled lip, head down, arm extended out in front.
We can't go on together. The suspicious mind. And we can build our dreams.
Was this Fat Elvis or Skinny Elvis? Yeah, Priscilla, why are you so suspicious? Like, come on. What a clown, man. Yeah, just because you can sing doesn't mean, I mean, come on. He's one of a lot of people that, you know, fame just, you know, crushed. So I want to share this article with you. All right. And I pay attention to these things because the seventh commandment is fitness is a part of mental health. The eighth commandment is learn how to handle money, right? Lest it accelerate when you kind of have times where you struggle. If you're going through financial issues, that accelerates the struggle, right? No bueno. Headline, all right? What makes people happier than money? According to a new study from Yale and Oxford, physical fitness. Researchers from the two prestigious universities have published new findings suggesting that exercise is more important for your mental health than your bank account. So I struggle with that, right? If you've ever gone through financial, problems. So the question is like, okay, so what kind of financial problems, right? The benefits of an exercise routine have been well documented. Blaring headlines tout weight loss, muscle gain, lower cholesterol, improved mental health, sharper focus, stronger bones, and a stronger heart, among other improvements. But a new study has shown that exercise may actually be more important to happiness than wealth. Oh, than wealth. See, this is my own life example. I've never been wealthy, right? I've never been wealthy, right? A large study of 1.2 million Americans, researchers from Yale and Oxford universities have shown that people who exercise are markedly happier than people who don't, even if they have less income. Oh, see, the headline's wrong then, right? So if you, can pay all your bills, would you be happier if you exercised? Well, yes, come on. So anyway, there was something else I wanted to get to. Mac, I believe that was skinny Elvis when Elvis was cool before he went through his uncool phase. Associated Press, breaking news. Not significant. Sometimes it is. That's why I always check those little bulletins when they pop up. If you want to read about an interesting dude, read about a guy named James Robinson Reisner. He retired as a brigadier general. He was held in the Hanoi Hilton. Really cool story about him during kind of a religious services revolt in the Hanoi Hilton. He was being led away, and I want to say a guy named Bud Day, another Air Force officer, stood up and started singing the national anthem. And Reisner later said, "I felt like I was 9 feet tall, and that I could go hunting bear with a switch." There's a statue of him at the Air Force Academy, and it's 9 feet tall. Pretty interesting read, though. He's one of those guys who fought in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And just a really interesting story, deeply religious. And James Robinson Reisner, R-I-S-N-E-R, Brigadier General. Pretty interesting dude. I was reading about him because I hear about him when I listen to books that I listen to about the Hanoi Hilton and things like that. News today before the chef comes on. Headlines. Let's see. Stars and Stripes. First story is the Secretary of Defense defends stripping Stars and Stripes of all funding. Says news organization is not a priority. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper on Thursday defended the Pentagon's effort to strip Stars and Stripes of all of its federal funding as part of its fiscal 2021 budget request. Well, let me ask you this then. And Tim Lynch brought it up. Why is the government still funding NPR to any extent? What is the point of that? Especially given the perspective that you get on NPR, which tends not to be straight down the middle. So maybe there was a time and a place when it was important that that the country, have NPR. But I don't know that that is still the case. Quote, "So we trimmed the support for Stars and Stripes because we need to invest that money as we did with many, many other programs into higher priority issues." Said this at a news conference at NATO headquarters. He listed space, nuclear programs, hypersonic missiles, and a variety of systems as places the money, slightly more than $15.5 million, could be reinvested in a $705.4 billion defense spending proposal. Pentagon officials acknowledged on Wednesday for the first time that the budget proposal completely cuts the subsidy that the department provides Stars and Stripes to print and distribute newspapers to troops deployed around the world, including remote and often dangerous locations in places such as as Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Yeah, I just, again, I don't know that I recall seeing that newspaper at all when I was in Afghanistan or when I was in Iraq. So I don't know where they're distributing it, but I didn't see too much of it, right? Now, I did earlier in my career, but not later. Marine Corps Museum commemorates the Iwo Jima anniversary from Triangle, Virginia, which is the home of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Medal of Honor recipient Herschel Woody Williams will share his memories of Iwo Jima during a presentation on February 22nd. The next day will feature an Iwo Jima-themed family day and a concert by the Marine Band. And as a matter of fact, both both flags are at the museum, and I believe they display both of them. They don't display both of them all the time. My understanding, based on the last time I was there, right, was that they display one or the other. And but during the period, the month of February, when the battle actually took place and into March, they display both. So that was my understanding. A pretty cool story. Global Outpouring gives a 100-year-old World War II veteran, Marine officer type, a Valentine's Day he'll never forget. From Stockton, California, his name is Bill White. A simple request on social media to honor the 104-year-old Purple Heart recipient and World War II veteran with a Valentine's Day card turned into a global outpouring of love and support that came to be known as Operation Valentine. White's daughter, Mary Houston, estimates that about 300,000 cards, letters, and gifts have flooded her father's residence. The Oaks at Inglewood in Stockton since fellow Oaks resident Tony Walker's post on social media some 5 weeks ago. On Thursday, dozens of citizens, active military, retired military, and law enforcement members visited Major White during an open house at the Oaks. The walls were covered with some of the cards and were stacked on the floor by the U.S. Postal Office bins. And there's pictures of all the cards. Pretty cool. I'm just trying to see if they talk about his service. And he's got his dress blues on, got a Purple Heart. He's got a Good Conduct Medal. How cool. Yeah. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. This story's been, the story has been in the news for a while. Cox, who served in the U.S. Army in Korea, worked 30 years for the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, which is SMUD, man. Yeah. SMUD was our utility company when I was a kid. He's lived at Seven Oaks for the last 7 years. Everybody seems to be appreciating all the publicity. It's been good news for Stockton. Stockton, one of the cities in California that declared bankruptcy. Stockton, Vallejo. Yeah. Secretary of Defense, and this is, again, he's in NATO, right? Shifting defense funds for the president's border wall. I'm curious to what he has to say. Border security is national security, Esper said, and national security is our mission. He added, the action we took is legal under the law, and so it should be no surprise, and I'll just leave it at that for now. The Pentagon announced on Thursday that Esper approved shifting $3.8 billion in funds that Congress had previously authorized for the F-35 fighter aircraft and other military programs. The money is being diverted to help the Department of Homeland Security build portions of the border wall. The Pentagon indicated that more such actions could be coming to provide additional funding for Trump's signature campaign promise. The action drew sharp rebukes from Democrats as well as Republicans. Today's programming request confirms once again that the president is obsessed with fulfilling a campaign promise at the expense of our national security, said Representative Adam Smith, who's a Democrat, who's the chair of the House Armed Service Committees. This administration has already stolen billions from the Department of Defense in order to begin building the president's vanity wall, and today they're doubling down on a bad policy. In a reaction to Thursday's Pentagon announcement, Max Thornberry, the top Republican on the House Armed Committee and supporter of wall construction, said that while the administration's constitutional role is to recommend how tax dollars are spent, final choices are made by Congress. Quote, once those choices have been made, the Department of Defense cannot change them in pursuit of their own priorities without the approval of Congress. Attempts to do so undermine the principle of civilian control of the military and is in violation of the separation of power within the Constitution. The reprogramming announced today is contrary to Congress's constitutional authority, and I believe that it requires Congress to take action. Whoa, that's from a Republican. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Special operations forces gear up for large Africa drill as possible cutbacks loom. Yeah, you know, special forces in Africa. You know, we've heard, you know, announcement after announcement that we're more interested in Russia, China, Iran, and we're going to go there. And then we have European allies saying, no, you can't leave Africa. What's going to happen if you guys leave? Well, why don't you guys step in? What? Us? Surely you jest, right? My name's not Shirley. U.S. Special Operations Forces begin large-scale exercises Monday in Western Africa, where Pentagon leaders are mulling a troop cutback even as insurgent groups in the region gain ground. About 1,600 troops will take part in Flintlock 2020, which brings together forces from more than 30 countries to practice countering violent extremists. Most of the work will take place in Mauritania and Senegal and will include African forces that have been battling militants in places like Niger and Mali. Quote, strategic threats will emanate from Africa that will pose not only regional challenges to U.S. interests, but global challenges as well. And that's from U.S. Africa Command General Stephen Townsend. Townsend, we want you to make sure everybody's safe, man. Your airfield that got fucked up and overrun a month ago. Now, that's after four other, you know, Green Berets were killed last year. That's unacceptable. Get your shit together. And then go ahead and make comments in the news. Until then, don't want to hear from you. Next story. Report on Pentagon counter-drone operations. And there's a picture of a Marine Corps Razor vehicle that shot down an Iranian drone. It is chained to the deck of an LHA, I think. And that's how that happened. So there's a report from Congress to Congress on that. There's video. USS Normandy seizes a cache of Iranian-made weapons in the Arabian Sea. I would tell you that this is due to American surveillance of Iranian ports, watching which ships are loaded with what, right? And then going ahead and yoking them up. The Ticonderoga-class guided missile cruiser USS Normandy seized a cache of Iranian-made anti-tank missiles and other munitions aboard a Dhow, D-H-O-W, in the Arabian Sea over the weekend. The Normandy stopped the Dhow while conducting, and so the Dhow is like a ship with a sail, while conducting maritime security operations over the weekend. In accordance with international law, according to a statement released Thursday by U.S. Central Command, they seized the following weapons. 150 Iranian-made anti-tank missiles, 3 Iranian-made surface-to-air missiles, thermal imaging weapon scopes, and components for manned and unmanned aerial and surface vessels. And there's pictures of all those munitions. So we love that. Well done, boys. Nice going. Your Navy at work. We love it when they do shit right. Huntington Ingalls Industries planning for increased U.S. Navy demand for unmanned underwater vehicles, also known as UUVs. That's how we're going to get to the 350-ship Navy. The USS Minnow. Yeah, the USS Minnow 2. The Navy will buy the large capital ships and big deck amphibious warships that Huntington Ingalls Industry has built and plans to build for decades. However, the Navy's appetite for UUVs is amplifying the presence of large manned platforms, which will only grow. Quote, you're not going to see a hard left turn here where we're going to say, okay, we don't need big platforms with people on them anymore, and we're going to have a Navy that's completely unmanned. I think what you're going to see is evolution. Right. He goes on. I think the Navy is going to be moving towards more unmanned systems to amplify the platforms they have and see where that goes from there. As their principal partner, we want to be right there with them and help them make that transition successfully. So unmanned underwater vehicles, right? Tracking down submarines, finding ships. You could do all of that, right, until somebody figures out a way to jam their ass, and then you can't do any of it, right? Right? Or somebody finds a way to send some kind of electronic blast underwater and scramble the drones. Yeah, like kind of like the Kraken in Pirates of the Caribbean, right? You know, when the Kraken was underwater, and there would be this, there'd be this big pulse that the Kraken would let out some way, shape, or form. Yeah, kind of something like that. Yeah. I know it's not that sophisticated, but you know what I'm talking about. Right? It's energy pulses, and you fry the system. Yeah, I was just kind of a white trash version of that, the Kraken. Anyway, top five stories in early bird. Number one, Pentagon seeks to cut F-35s and other equipment to pay for Trump's border wall. Number two, Pentagon and Microsoft must halt the Jedi Cloud for now. Yeah, Amazon went to court, got an injunction, and said, not so fast, not so fast, awarding that thing to Microsoft. So, big, what's it worth, like $10 billion or something like that? Number three, Senate acts to restrain Trump's military powers against Iran. Again, in order for something to become law, the House and Senate have to pass their measures. They go into conference, right? They sort it out. That then goes back to each chamber. They then reapprove it, right? And then it goes to the president for signature in order to become a part of a law. The president, if they do that, will certainly veto it. And in the Senate, they don't have the votes to override the veto. So this is political fanfare. So, but nonetheless, it's fanfare. Number four, U.S. Indo-Pacific Command leader hopes Philippines security pact can be saved. That was in the news yesterday. And number five, U.S. Taliban deal on the table. Now, I saw something scroll across my screen a little bit ago that says breaking news. Senior official says U.S. and Taliban have reached a truce that could lead to the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. So this is from the Associated Press. A senior U.S. official said Friday that the United States and the Taliban have reached a truce agreement that will take effect very soon and could lead to withdrawals of American troops from Afghanistan. Officials say the agreement from a seven-day reduction in violence to be followed by the start of an all-Afghan peace talks within 10 days is very specific and covers the entire country, including Afghan forces. The developments come as U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Defense Secretary Mark Esper met Friday in Munich with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. They spoke on the sidelines of an international security forum in Munich. The truce has been widely anticipated, and President Donald Trump has agreed in principle to the deal, which could lead to the start of significant U.S. troop withdrawals from Afghanistan, according to U.S. officials. Now, we talked, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney and I talked about this on the program yesterday, and the problem has always been when you get to these agreements that the Taliban, it's not a monolithic thing. It's a hydra, right? It's got all these heads, and not everybody cooperates. And so when they say the Taliban, there is no such thing as the Taliban. The Taliban is like many different entities, and they don't always play together because they don't always like each other. So, again, I can hear President Reagan in my head, trust but verify, you know, any peace agreement with the Taliban, you know, should be slow walked, should be full of conditions-based things that happen, and then, you know, and then ultimately the Afghan people are going to decide what's in the future of Afghanistan. So anyway, breaking news right there. From overseas operations, while U.S. worries about China, Europe says stay focused on Russia. Okay, and that, see, to me, this discussion has interesting implications for the Marine Corps, right? Is the Marine Corps too enamored with the South China Sea? And what about, you know, so you're opting out of your heavy equipment in favor of what? And how do you plug into all these other theaters? So, again, we wait. Inquiring minds want to know. There's a story about Russia in Syria that I'm not going to have a chance to get to. Final story. Navy Marine program cuts pay the biggest share of the new $4 billion Pentagon border barrier funding. Pentagon leaders want to reroute $1.5 billion in money from two major shipbuilding programs and aircraft for the Navy and the Marine Corps to support construction of the $3.8 billion in new physical barriers along the U.S.-Mexican border, according to a copy of the fiscal year 2020 reprogramming request obtained by USNI News. And you heard Max Thornberry say, that isn't legal. So again, we'll see where that goes. So anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef, that's right, the All Marine Radio head chef will join us on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next right here on your home for it. Hour 2 coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.